I would like to join in with everyone who's wished a happy Mother's Day so far and wish that for you as well. And we're thankful for all the visitors we have with us this morning, and we appreciate you coming out and being with us today. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1 and verses 46 through 56 this morning. So I invite you to open your Bibles to that passage of Scripture. These verses are sometimes known as Mary's song. And the circumstances under which this song was originally spoken is that the angel Gabriel had announced to Mary that she would have a child. Of course, this was a miraculous conception of a child, that is, of Jesus Christ. And Mary then was to be the mother of Jesus. And seeing as this was a special circumstance, and we know that Joseph and Mary were betrothed to one another, but they had not yet married. And so here now, Mary is with child, and Joseph also was visited by the angel Gabriel to explain to him what was going on. Well, Mary went off to stay with her relative Elizabeth, who was also with child. Elizabeth and Zechariah. Zechariah was one of the priests ministering in the temple, and they were advanced in years, the Bible tells us. But Elizabeth would have John the Baptizer as her child, and Mary, of course, would have Jesus Christ. And so they were both very close to one another in their pregnancies, and then they would have their children a little later on. But while they were pregnant, they visited with each other and they spent time with one another. And the Holy Spirit filled Elizabeth to bless Mary and the child in her womb. And in response to that blessing that Mary received from Elizabeth, Mary then was filled with the Holy Spirit to utter these words that we find here in Luke chapter 1, and verses 46 through 56. Let's read them together, and then we'll talk about how they may apply to our lives. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." Well, in this song of Mary's, we see three basic things for which she praises the Lord. She says she magnifies the Lord, and she does that for three reasons. First of all, for choosing her to be the mother of Jesus. Second, for showing mercy to those who fear the Lord. And finally, for helping the Lord's servant, Israel. So let's think about those three things. It's almost like her focus starts on herself, and then it expands to those who have the same attitude that she has, and then it expands to the entire nation of Israel. And we're going to talk about that as we go along. So let's think about this great song of Mary. First of all, Mary magnifies the Lord for choosing her to be the mother of Jesus. The word magnify means to enlarge or to make bigger. And so she is magnifying the Lord. She is making the Lord bigger in her life. She is expanding her view of the Lord, and she then is going to grow as a person by doing this. Magnify means to enlarge, and she is also rejoicing in the Lord. She takes joy in God. She is thankful for God. She wants God within her life, and she wants to rejoice over Him. And for what reasons is she magnifying the Lord and rejoicing over the Lord? First of all, for her lowly estate. Look at verse 47. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. He has regarded the lowly estate of His maidservant. Her lowly estate. You know, Mary was not part of the upper class. She was not part of the middle class. She was to be the wife of a carpenter living in an obscure village of Nazareth, in an obscure region of Galilee. You know, that was not a famous place to be from. Even the Pharisees of that day, the leaders of that day, had this proverb. They said, search and look, no prophet comes from Galilee. They didn't think that anyone could come out of that region that would serve God. It was not a place that was well known for its spiritual leaders. And so she was from that, but she was from that place. And that tells us something about God and His choices. You see, God often does not use those who men think are great and need to use and serve. He selects among those who are lowly and who are not full of themselves. You see, God doesn't want and He can't use those who have no room in their lives for others than themselves. James 4 and verse 6 tells us that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And that's exactly what He does here with Mary. She is not a proud person. She is not an exalted person. No one had even heard of her, most likely, before this point, except for maybe her immediate family and those that she grew up with around the Nazareth area. But now she is going to be known by everyone for the role that God has chosen her to play in being the mother of Jesus. And so all generations will call her blessed because she was the mother of Jesus. Notice also that in her blessing, there was responsibility. She would be rearing the child of God known as Jesus Christ, who would then grow up to be the one who would save mankind from their sins. And so blessing comes with responsibility. And the blessing that she was blessed with also had with it a very sharp edge, because she would see the many things that her child would suffer as a result of being blessed in this way. God recognizes that relationship between blessing and responsibility. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 39, Jesus said, "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away." And that is basically Jesus recognizing this principle that when we are blessed with something, that God expects us to use that to His honor and glory. And He expects us to be responsible with what we are given. And then if we don't use those things to His honor and glory, we're not responsible with what He has blessed us with, that will be even taken away from us. And so this blessing that she was blessed with, this all generations will call you blessed, it was a good thing, but it also inherently included a great responsibility. Well, she recognized that, and she also recognized God for who He is. And she said, "Holy is His name." God is mighty, and God is holy. And choosing Mary to be the vessel through whom Jesus Christ would be born into the world shows how mighty God really is. For God to save the world through a lowly maidservant like her truly shows His great power. It also demonstrates God's holiness, that He's separated from all of the things that man finds valuable, that man thinks is important. God does not value those things like we think those things are valuable. He doesn't look at things the same way that we do. In Isaiah 57 and verse 15, He tells us a little bit about what He means in that regard. He says, "For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place." So that's God speaking about Himself and who He is. But then who does He regard? Who does He recognize? He says this, "He dwells in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." And so Isaiah, God through Isaiah, is teaching us that it's not the great men of this world that He regards. It's not who men think are tremendous that God recognizes, but rather the humble and the contrite. The things that men value in this world, Jesus said, are an abomination in the sight of God. And so Mary praises God, magnifies the Lord for choosing her, a lowly maidservant, to be the mother of Jesus. But then secondly, she magnifies God for showing mercy to those who fear the Lord. Look at verse 50 and following. His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. God's mercy is for those who fear Him. This is reflected in the Psalms, and it shows that Mary knew some of these Psalms, because there is very similar language to this in Psalm 103, verse 11, which says, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him." And in Psalm 103, verse 17, we read, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children." God shows mercy toward those who fear Him. And we must be the kind of people who fear God and keep His commandments, as Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13 says, "For this is the whole duty of man." But then, in the opposite of that, God shows His strength against the wicked. Notice He shows His mercy toward those who fear Him, but His strength or power against those who are evil. Notice He scatters the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He pulls down the mighty from their thrones. He sends the rich away empty. You see, these are the categories of people that men think highly of. The rich, the mighty, the proud, the kings, those who are in power on the earth. God has no regard for them. He does not need them in order to accomplish His will. In 1 Corinthians 1, in verses 26 through 29, Paul explains to us precisely why God takes this attitude. He writes, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." That's the purpose that God uses to choose the lowly and the meek and the humble like Mary to serve Him, that no flesh should glory in His presence. God shows His strength for those who fear Him by exalting the lowly, filling the hungry with good things, and taking care of those who are in need. Yes, God's Spirit is with those, not with the mighty, because He knows what the tendency of man is, to elevate himself, to exalt himself up high, to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, and thus to take credit for things for which he has no right to take credit. God does not need someone like that. But God can use someone like Mary, who is a nobody, who is a nothing, who doesn't elevate herself, who doesn't think of herself more highly than she ought to think, and who, when blessed with the greatest blessing that one could be blessed with, immediately magnifies God and praises Him. Now that's the attitude that God is looking for. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up, James tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 10. And Psalm 147 and verse 6 says, "The Lord lifts up the humble. He has cast the wicked to the ground." Mary also glorifies God and magnifies God here for helping His servant Israel. In verses 54 and 55 we read, "He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." How did God help Israel through Mary? He gave Israel a Savior. He fulfilled the promises that He made to them for a Messiah. He provided for Israel an eternal king. But sadly, God's people rejected what God gave them. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Peter preached in Acts chapter 4 and verse 11 that Jesus was that stone which was rejected by the builders, and He has become the chief cornerstone. What will our attitude be toward Jesus today? Will we be like those in His day and time who, when God blessed them with such a tremendous, great gift and blessing, will we also reject that blessing for our life? Mary did not reject that blessing, and I am so thankful for that. And everyone should be thankful for that, because God blessed everyone in Jesus Christ. He showed mercy to Israel. He remembered the promises to Abraham and the fathers. "In you," God said to Abraham, "all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Genesis 12 and verse 3. And Paul tells us in Galatians 3 and verse 16 that not to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. In other words, when God told Abraham, "In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed," that seed that he was talking about was Jesus Christ. Well, Peter said in Acts 3 and verse 25, "You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' To you first, God, having raised up His servant Jesus, sent Him to bless you, in turning every one of you away from his sins, from your iniquities." That's how God blesses us with Jesus Christ today, by giving us the truth, teaching us right from wrong, and exhorting us to be faithful to the Lord, to repent of our sins and turn toward Him. That's the blessing. Who is Israel today? Paul wrote in Romans 2, verses 28 and 29, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly." Circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, "whose praise is not from men, but from God." and who have had their hearts circumcised today. We read about that in Colossians chapter 2, where Paul writes about that cutting away of the sin from our heart. He says, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, Colossians 2 verse 11, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which also you were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Buried with him in baptism. That's where we are spiritually circumcised, where all the sins are cut away from our heart so that we can have a pure heart, a clean heart. You see, the word of God has taken effect in God's people when they follow Christ's simple plan of salvation. And that's what Paul says in Romans 9, verses 6 through 8. It is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac shall your seed be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. We are Israel. The church is Israel. God's people today are Israel. And God has helped us tremendously through Jesus Christ. And how does he help us then today? By giving us the Bible, by providing the church, by giving us godly parents, fathers, and mothers, by blessing us with faithful families. God blesses Israel today through Jesus Christ. Mary magnified the Lord. She praised God for all these wonderful things, for choosing her to be the mother of Jesus Christ, for showing mercy to those who fear the Lord, and for helping his servant Israel in bringing a Savior to the world and perpetuating God's people in the Lord's church today. Are you being blessed by the blessing of Mary? Are you a child of God? We urge you to become one this very hour through hearing the word of God and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. You can receive the same blessing that Mary received, the blessing of Jesus Christ in your life. And you can respond to that invitation right now, while together we stand and while we sing.